Heavenly Father, we worship you this afternoon. We are so grateful. Lord, we stand in awe of your presence in our midst today. The Ancient of Days. Indeed, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or we the sons of men that desire to visit us? We not take it for granted. We recognize that we are gathered unto you, even unto Mount Zion. We come to the city of living God. As we go into your word, Heavenly Father, I recognize that, Lord, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but to whom you show mercy. That, Lord, under the covering of myself, spiritual fathers, that you help me today to partake of grace that is upon them, to bring forth a word in season to your people. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and our lives. Because our wills to become more humble, our minds to be further enlightened by revelation as the word goes forth, and our emotions to be controlled by the power of the Spirit. I ask for mercy to be concise and precise. Lord, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to bring out of the treasure of the Lord things both new and old as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. We come to give all the praise, all the glory, all the honor back unto you as we go into this ministration today. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So the title of my message today is The Travail of His Soul. Let's say together, The Travail of His Soul. Isaiah 53 verse 11. Isaiah 53 verse 11. Are we there? You see, this is the redemptive chapter in the Bible that we all know. And most times when we read it, we think of it. Most Christians think of this chapter only in one sense. Even though what they think about is right, but it's not everything. Let's read together. I was talking about, prophesying about when the Lord Jesus Christ died. You know, when he came to die. He said, he shall see the what? The travail of his soul. And he shall be what? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That is, there is something that God is looking for. And the fact that the age has not come to an end means it's not satisfied. Like Pastor Kuni was sharing earlier on in the Bible study. You see, there is nothing that we can ever do in the natural, in terms of our achievements in the secular field, that can bring satisfaction to God. The only thing, there is only one thing that we'll see today that is needful that will bring God total satisfaction. You know, like I said earlier on, as you see, most people in the body of Christ, they limit the plan of redemption to healing, prosperity, deliverance, and then waiting that one day they will die and then they will go to heaven. That is what majority of people are thinking about. So when they come to church and they hear any message, their mind is that, oh, when my own miracle come? When will this happen to me? Hey, it is not wrong. But like Paul said, if it's in this life only we have hope, you are all men what? Most miserable. The master did not come all the way from heaven and glory to die, so that we can just be rich alone or healed alone. He came to die for a specific purpose. And that purpose is what he said in this same redemptive chapter that we always read. So he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That means that nothing else will satisfy him until he sees what? The travail of his soul. So what is the travail of his soul? We all know we've been taught properly. But just to bring to remembrance what our purpose is and what our end is. Because the nearer you will get towards fulfilling purpose and destiny, you find that distractions begin to come in the way. Especially when prosperity begins to come. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. You know, when they were going to the promised land, God had told Moses, he said, look, you are taking them across to the promised land, to the land of clean, land that flows with milk and honey. Already that means that anything in the wilderness is not the promised land. But they moved closer and closer and closer. Different things began to happen. They caused Moses to stumble. We will not stumble in Jesus' name. But something happened. Two and a half tribes came to Moses. Because they began to prosper. And they said, look, this side is okay. They were looking at Jordan right ahead of them. I said, this side is okay. We have cattle, we have this, we have that. There's no point crossing over that side again. It's a snare that must not fall into. You see, because that is not our purpose. They took the wilderness for their purpose.
There's prosperity in the wilderness. So they got cows and all that stuff. So it went to Moses and he said, look, it's why don't we just stay here? Numbers 32, verse 1. Numbers 32, verse 1. Are we there? 32, 1, please. It says, now the children of Reuben were supposed to be the firstborn. He ought to know better. His children. See his children, his seed. The seed will always produce after his kind. Was stable as water. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had what? A very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, and behold, the place was a place of for cattle. Prosperity. Verse 2. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh, joined them later, came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar, the high priest, unto the princes of the congregation, saying, what did they say? Next verse. Ataroth and Dibon and blah, 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 blah. Because of time, let's go to verse 5. What did they say? Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. That is what will happen when you don't move beyond Pentecost. The Bible says that God will declare the end from the beginning. In the beginning, he said something. He said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them have dominion. He's not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. God doesn't change his mind. He won't say something to you that says, okay, let us change the game plan. No! But you see what happened there. Because as they began to move nearer and nearer to that purpose, they saw Jordan like this. They said, can anything be better over there? Let's settle for little. But you know, the sad thing that happened was that Moses was angry with them. He said, let me tell you something, if you're a man of God, when people turn back, don't beg them. What would have happened if Moses had allowed them when they rebelled again? God would have done what he was going to do. They just said that Moses, don't beg them. Especially when they have an understanding of purpose and destiny. See, they made their choice. So when Moses went to God, he was initially angry with them. He said, you want to be like your fathers? Blah, blah, blah. God said, no. Give it to them. Why? Because God foresaw that in the end time, there will be a generation of Christians who will not go to the promised land. So that's their type. You will not cross Jordan. But we need to cross Jordan. Say, we need to cross Jordan. We need to cross Jordan. Because our destiny is on the other side. The master said, let us go on to the other side. Or else, if we don't go to the other side, he will not be satisfied. So what is the travail of his soul? Let's bring it. Let's make it very simple. We all know. The travail of God's soul is the salvation of your soul. You see, everything I can own in the world, you don't have to be a Christian to get it. Yes. There are unbelievers that don't fall sick. Yeah, yes. You can find them in the world. There are unbelievers that are prosperous, so rich. There are unbelievers that are okay in the natural. But that is not our destiny. That is not what he died for. That is not what he declared at the beginning. But the right division, make it plain, so that he that readeth may run with it. We have to cross the finishing line. We don't stop halfway. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is the end. It's so clear. The salvation of the soul is the end that God has for us, including the body also. Paul says, we'll wait for the redemption to wit of our body. Praise the Lord. To make it clearer, let's open to Hebrews chapter 10, read from verse 35. He shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Just put it there on time. Have mercy, Lord. Hebrews 10, 35. Let me check for my book. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which at what? A great recompense of reward. Reuben and the other guys, they cast away that confidence. Next verse. Holy Spirit. For you have what? Need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might what? Receive the promise. Next verse. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Next verse. Now the just shall live by faith. Now, this is what we're getting to. The traveler of his soul says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So those guys drawed back. They didn't go ahead. That means God was not pleased. They did not cross the Jordan. The master himself went to Jordan and came out. And the Bible says that this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Had pleasure in him. That is our destiny. That is our purpose. Praise the Lord. God will have pleasure in us in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at another scripture that explains this thing, just to remind us. And I believe that what God has brought this message at this time, like the song that choir sang, is that the time has come. The ancient of this has stepped into the scene. And he wants to give us a kingdom. Amen. The time came, and judgments was given, and the saints of God possessed the kingdom. When that season, when that time. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2, 14. But speak thou the things, 2:14. Who gave himself for us? Let's together. Who gave himself for us? That he might what? Redeem. Say redeem. Us from what? Some iniquity. Some iniquity. All iniquity. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God wants to redeem the church, those that cooperate with him, from all iniquity, spirit, soul, and body. We only got a thought when we got born again. We now have to continue. As we continue, he wants to every iniquity, the sin nature in the soul and the body must be removed. If that does not happen, it will never be satisfied. Because that is what he paid for. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Explain this thing again. Just read the scriptures. Let the scriptures explain. Say, for it became of him. Mind you, we are talking from, we read from Isaiah 53, the redemptive chapter, that most Christians think is only about healing. Say, for it became of him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in doing what? Bringing what? Many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. The end of the reason why the master went to the cross, died and went to hell, and rose, that is the end. Bringing many sons to glory. Not all, because not all will cooperate. It's designed for all, but not all will. As I Paul said, one in every man, teaching every man, that will present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is our purpose, as our destiny. And to fall short of this purpose is to perish in the wilderness. Even though you may have everything that you need. Like Solomon. He had everything. But he missed purpose. He had everything. But he missed purpose. Will not miss purpose in Jesus' name. Let's look at Isaiah 53, 11, the Amplified Bible. It paints a clearer picture of what we're talking about. You see, it's very important for us to understand these things. You see, it's like somebody going to school, like Pastor Kule was sharing earlier on. Before you get to school, they will tell you what is available. Like those of you from one, form two. You can't get to school and do every other thing. Every activities, play football, swim, be the best, this be the best that, live around the business society. I follow the end of the day when you're supposed to graduate. Either you don't graduate or you don't graduate in flying colors. Even that is still not the end in itself. But if I love God, they do every other thing. And they take that as what the master died for. Error. Terrible error. Because he told them in this same wilderness, he said, he gave them the desires of their hearts and sent leanness to their soul. The boss will have a sense, I want by Jesus see me. Okay, no problem. That will not be a lot in Jesus' name. What does it say in Amplified Bible? He shall see what? The fruit. Very important. He shall see what? The fruit of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and he passes to others. God is looking for fruit. He said, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he abideth alone. He said, but if he die, he said, will bring forth much fruit. That fruit of good treasure. That's Jordan there, yes, sir. You have to go to Jordan, die to self, then come out on the other side as a son of God. Praise the Lord. What are we saying? Let's put our scripture behind. James chapter 5, verse 7. It's not a long message. Just to bring to remembrance, because we are very close. Very close to fulfilling our purpose and our destiny. And Satan has only one game plan. Either to distract us, and he has failed. Are you following me? The only reason why Satan can distract people, if you don't follow constituted authorities that know the way. You know when Korah and Datha, when they arose, they said, let's go back. But it was only two there. What does it say? Be ye also patient. Establish your... No, put in verse 7, please. I think verse 7. What does 7 say? Okay, yeah. Say, be patient therefore, brethren, unto what? The coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received what? The early and the latter rain. Next verse. Say, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. It's no more drawing nigh, it's here. So what we have to do is to draw nigh unto God, that he means to be drawn nigh unto us. Praise the Lord. So God is looking for, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That is our purpose. That is the travail of his soul that is waiting for. And he's not going to settle for anything less. He's waiting, the world waiting, and we are waiting. Everybody's waiting. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run not and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is one aspect of the travail of God's soul that is waiting for. As we have been told, the harvest of the love of God in his church. That is the first aspect of it. When God sees that, when the sons of God manifest in the perfect church, when you see that, especially from beyond the rest of Ethiopia, then God is satisfied in a sense. But it's not the end. We're not going to become perfect, carry the glory, and then just sit down. You can't finish in university with your degree, then go back to your dad's house and sit down. Is that possible? And so, you can't have the glory, and then after the glory manifests, say, God, take me home to heaven. No. Say, after glory, shall send me where? To the nations. So the next stage that will bring further satisfaction to his soul is after he can get a crop of people on the earth that are perfect, that reproduce the image of his son in them. The next is that these same ones will go forth and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every nation with the intent of raising a perfect church in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Nations that are ethnos. And then shall the end come. The end, as you all know, is the rapture. You see, it's in progression. But you must never stop at the fact that, okay, where we are now, we can't even stop until we awake, like the psalmist said, in his likeness. Then the next stage, you move to the nations of the world and preach the same gospel to the kingdom. See, we must never make the mistake that the disciples made. After the resurrection, they came to him and said, when are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? And the master said something, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They didn't understand purpose. They thought that, okay, now, initially when he died, they were discouraged. They thought it was the end. But now resurrected, they said, oh, you are resurrected now. Okay, maybe you are not going to restore the kingdom back to Israel. I was still far, far, far. They are far from what the master was thinking about, but he could not explain to them. How about I had to raise up Paul to come and teach them the perfection principles? They didn't understand it at that time. Say, but you shall what? Receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in one, Jerusalem, and also in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Witness is not just talking about Jesus Christ. Get born again. God wants you to become a witness. That is, like I told the master, say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You have become a witness. You become a witness. Not handling that. That is part of it. Giving tracts, talking about just. But the most effective witness is when you become like him. And then you now go like him into the nations of the world. That's why they said, this is our God. We have waited for him. When they see you manifest the same glory, the same power that the master manifested, they've heard about it. But they've not seen it before. Same character. Raise the dead. Walk on water. Do mighty miracles. Raise the dead after 4 days. And then you tell the people, shh, don't call CNN. Paul says, my servant whom I put delight in. He says, his voice shall not be heard in the street. No noise. No noise. So you see, I still have some work to do in ourselves. No noise. I find it very interesting. I've checked through the Bible. I'm still checking. The master never shared about any miracle he did, apart from once. I can remember. If I'm wrong, please correct me. When they sent John the Baptist, sent his disciples to him, and said, are you the one to come? Or should we expect another? And the scripture records, it says, go tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, this, blessed that is not offended in me. That is the only time that I see mention what he did. I'm not saying wrong to share testimonies, but why are you sharing testimonies? I don't know. If you know, please send it to me. I've just checked over. I have not seen. He said, his voice shall not be heard in the street. No noise. Because those things will end up being a distraction. His own purpose was to go to the cross, not to raise the dead. If he raised the dead, turned water to wine, and never went to the cross, then he can't bring many sons to glory. So our own purpose now is not just to be perfect. It's to go to the nations. So as we go to the nations, I'm preaching healings, signs, and wonders doing take place. Prosperity comes, it must not be a distraction. Because we see our purpose at the end of the day. As we continue. There is a purpose. We must not be distracted. So what are we saying? Let's look at another scripture. That is the second aspect of him seeing the travel of his soul and be satisfied. Romans chapter 9 verse 28. I said we are in that season. We are in that time. To you it looks long. But as far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. Once the precious fruit comes forth in the church, the perfection of the love of God, the rest is a done deal. That's why the emphasis today is to perfect the love of God. When that one kicks in, everything, Satan himself knows his time is short. We are doing what they are thinking that is far. It's not far. Romans chapter 9 verse 28. God wants to close his account with human beings. Amplified. Say, for we'll finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord do and make upon the earth. Next, put it in Amplified. Yeah. For the Lord will execute his sentence. What sentence? That sentence that he spoke on the Garden of Eden. And said, his seed shall bruise your head. And then you bruise his heel. He did it in Christ. He's going to do it again in his body. He says, the Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth. He will conclude and close his accounts with men completely and without delay. Righteously cutting it short in justice. Vigorously. Yeah, rigorously. Cutting it short in justice. So exciting. That is at the end of the day, when God will balance the account. Satan will not say, you did a miracle through so and so and so, and you didn't pay the price. Everything will be paid. Everything will be done. Rigorously in righteousness. So God wants to close the account with his people. And you see, we need to understand this purpose of a manifestation. You see, Satan is still running around the whole place. The Bible says the hearts of men are failing them. We're in the end time. We're in the harvest time. You see, when you read the scriptures, when it talks about different parables of the end time or about the season of the harvest, you find that there's a scripture I will read that explains what to expect or to let us know when that harvest time, or that the time has come for the saints to possess the kingdom of God. Because it will look like in that harvest time that nothing will happen. That's it. That many will begin to draw back and say, What else are we looking for? I'm already old. Let me just stay here. No! Be like Joshua and Caleb. We will go up at once. We must not settle for anything little. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We need to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible says that heaven, that the heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth has it given to the sons of men. But yet, we are yet to see that. But when you see a perfect church in every tribe, tongue, and kindred, they begin to rule and reign, control weather patterns. Not that you don't have bad things happening, but they will control it. All this that is happening in America, all these floods and everywhere, when the sons of God come on the scene, God has not changed. He only gave us a sample in Lord Jesus Christ. He said, except a seed fall into ground, he abideth alone. When he brings forth, he wants to say, you to, in wherever you find yourself, begin to dominate. You begin to exercise the kind of authority we see in the life of Daniel. He wasn't born again. No. I was changing kings. Or Moses. God didn't just do that and put them in the scriptures. And I will now end. And he says that the glory of latter shall be greater than the former. He says that the new testament is established upon better promises. We should not expect anything lesser than what we saw. In fact, far greater. All those miracles you saw in the Old Testament that you read about. About Moses in Egypt, how he dealt with Pharaoh, Daniel, how he changed kings, the three-time lions, lions, all those things will be replicated thousands and thousands of times over. But the skeptics will give church. Say, because the Lord is in his temple. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, the fullness of the salvation of our soul is what God is waiting for. The travail of his soul. As we've been taught, it's going to first of all come in us. In perfection and fullness, and it's going to come for us at the rapture. Then we are going to come back with him for the millennial reign. After all those things are done, then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, let's open that chapter. So the timetable is long. We have some work to do. So then come at the end. Obviously, this is not the end of rapture. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That's the end. But where we are now is in this season of the harvest. And we need to know. So I said, one of the reasons I put here is this. Why is this message important? Why is God telling us again? It's very important that we know. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. I think Pastor Kule mentioned it. Proverbs 10:5 says, he that gathereth in summer is what? A wise son. And he that sleepeth in harvest is what? A son that causeth shame. To sleep in harvest is to be a foolish virgin. Sleeping spiritually now. Not watching and praying. He said, it's a son, but it's not a wise son. Because we have entered the Kairos women, not as the harvest season of the harvest. And God said long ago, Genesis chapter 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and there and I shall not see. There was a seed time, and there is the harvest time. The seed time was when the master was sown into the ground when he died. So, except when that harvest time, 3,000 years, and we must know what to expect. But he said something during the seed time, during the harvest time. He said, heat and summer, winter and night, and this will not cease. These are the adverse conditions that bring the fruit, makes the fruit ripe. Heat, persecutions, and afflictions. For example, as we enter the dry season, some fruit begin to mature. So, we're in that harvest time. Of the seed time that Christ was sown. As I said, go tell that fox, today and tomorrow I cast out those that are ridiculous, but in the third day I shall be perfected. talking about his body. We're in that day, in this harvest time. So we must not sleep in this time of harvest. The second reason why I'm saying this again is that the Bible says that we should hold fast to our hope unto the end. We must not draw back like Reuben and the other guys. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 3, 6. It says, of the doctrine, Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ, let's see, Christ has what? A son over his own house. Whose house are we? If, say if, conditional. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Say, whose house are we? Notice he said that it's that house that he will fill with his glory. If you hold fast to a confidence, say that's what cast not away your confidence. That has a great recompense of God. For you have no faith. After I have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For he that shall come will come, I will not tarry. He said, if any man draws back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. And now says Paul said, say, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. So it is this house, if we hold fast to our hope unto the end, that is going to fill with glory. If we don't, or we are not part of that house, then it will not be able to fill that individual house or the corporate body with that glory. I've said in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 7, says that I will fill this house with glory. That the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and in this place will I give peace. So I will shake the nations, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. Next verse. The glory of this latter house, if we hold fast unto our confidence of the end, shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. Why? Because the Prince of Peace has come to dwell in his temple on earth. Praise the Lord. So, Revelation also says that we hold fast to confidence so that we can, so that no man takes a crown. The third point I have here is that once you begin to make this your goal in life and your purpose, something begins to happen. You see, when you don't make God's purpose your purpose, when you don't make his desire your desire, then God is not bound. Are you following me? To do what I'm about to say. But when you make this goal for him to see the travel of his soul in your life and in the earth, your purpose, then God begins to do something like he did for Sarah and Abraham. Bible says, you see, you don't have to fully understand. You understand as time goes on, but believe. You see, I don't understand this perfection. I don't understand how can these things be. No problem. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you and overshadow you. Believe. So Abraham believed God. And it was counted on him for righteousness. He had not done anything. God just told him, this is what I'm going to do. I said, okay, I believe. I got to tick it right. So it's free for everybody. I believe you are all believers. We can believe that perfection is possible. Once you believe, then God does something. And you seek out that purpose. Psalm 91, verse 16. 91, 16. With long life, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, spirit, soul, and body. That is God, this thing you have said, I want to follow after it. And then begin to practice it. Even though you fall 7 times, he will pick you up like he told Jacob. He said, don't worry, Jacob. By that time, he had not changed his name. He said, all I've spoken, I will not leave you until I fulfill all I've spoken to you. That when Jacob was going to run away from his brother Esau, going to Laban. From the very beginning, when Jacob made up his mind about purpose and destiny, after he gave his all to get the birthright, he sold everything, so to speak, in that sense, to get that birthright from Esau. Then he kept on going. And God appeared to him and said, don't worry, Jacob. I know you are Jacob. You're not perfect. But don't worry. As long as you make this your goal in life, I also will make sure that none of the promises I've spoken to you, everything will come to pass. Somewhere in Genesis, you don't have to turn there. So he said, be long life without satisfying man, show him my salvation. That is the reason why Joshua and Caleb made it. At 80, said, give me this mountain. 80 for God's sake. 80. I think the other was 85. But there was a different spirit in them. He wasn't looking at his age. He said, Moses, I've been serving you for 40 years. So when am I going to do freedom? You're laughing. That's what happens when people leave the place that God has planted them. Freedom. 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 I don't want to go there. Freedom. That's why God gave them long life. Enough. So power to inherit the promise. He gave them long life, healing and health. So while their classmates were dying, while those guys, they were misbehaving all over, can you imagine Joshua following Moses all around? Are you following me? That means whatever he got was limited by what Moses told him. He didn't have a life of his own. When Moses went to the mountain, Joshua would stay there. The others were busy eating garlic and all that nonsense they were eating, stuffing themselves, and they all died. But Joshua and Caleb, their youth was being renewed. That he goes, why? Because they followed after purpose. They followed on to know the Lord. They did not know what will happen. They are not sure. But because God had revealed it to them through Moses, that the promise is to on the other side. Even when Moses could not go, they didn't give up. Because their minds were made up. Much more than Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you like, you guys do whatever you want to do. So that is why God gives us long life. That is the reason. What is the point of living like Methuselah? And nothing good is done about your name. You're the oldest man in the world. We need to understand something. All these things, they are good as far as this earth is concerned. But over there, they don't matter. Get married, please. Have children. Build houses. I'm saying ahead of time. Get all those things. They're important. Are you following me? To be wealthy. That's part of what he paid for. That is just a snippet of the travel of his suit. That's just. But you see, the real McCoy is for you to be like him. Then go to the nations of the earth and startle the nations, like says Isaiah. Sprinkle the nations, like it says in Isaiah. Oh, yes, if you have all that, you leave and you don't get that purpose done, then what is the point? What shall he profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What? Say, you brought nothing into this world, you are going to take nothing back again. Except the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ that will go with you. You came into this life with the life of God. Go back with the fullness. Yeah. When you give birth to a child, he comes with the life of God in the spirit. No sin. Say, when sin revived, I died. But don't die in that state. Go back. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. I run over. So as we begin to round up, talked about Joshua and Caleb. There's a parable the master spoke of. Luke 13 verse 6. He said he came to his vineyard. Luke 13 6. He said, and he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. Fig tree speaks about Israel, speaks about individual Christian also. He said, planted in his vineyard. The vineyard is the church. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. This is the terrible state, not even one. Next verse. And then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, the Holy Spirit, behold, these 3 years have come. 3 years, no fruit. I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. But why compare it to the crown? That means each time he came, maybe the vine dresser didn't know. It's not every time that you know when God comes visiting, you know, like I was talking about Abraham the other day. He comes into your home. He looks at your attitude, like Pastor Bokuno was talking about, towards your parents. He looks for fruit. He doesn't see. It's okay. I will come back next year. Don't let me talk to the vine dresser yet. And he goes back and comes again and looks again. No improvement. Then the final time now goes to meet the person in charge of the vine. Look, come. I've actually been doing my secret inspection all the while. This is the third year I've been coming. And I've not found any fruit. Now, cut it down. So why compare it to the ground? Next verse. But thank God for the mercy of God. And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year. Say, let it alone this year. Also till I dwell, dig about it and dung it. This year. This period of time. You see, you the harvest time is when you harvest, not when you plant. The conditions to harvest will not support the conditions to plant. That's why I said, I've come this when the harvest season. So I said, give that long for this one more year. That means okay. There's still a room if you can quickly dung it. Why would you dung it? Put fertilizer so the growth can be very fast. Because we're in the harvest season. He said, let's dung about it. He said, let us see what will happen this third year. Now, in closing, how do we attain unto this? We've spoken about this purpose, which is to become conformed to his image, and that we are in that season. And would you hold fast to that which you have, that no man takes our crown, which is crown of glory. And then finally, that this guarantees long life, healing, and health. I give us a way of escape. Peradventure, we're not taking as serious as we ought to. I believe we are bearing fruit. I mean, there's nobody here that's not bearing fruit. No, please. For God's sake, you've been in this church for how many days? You're not bearing. But this guy didn't bear any fruit at all. So I don't believe there's anybody here that's not bearing any fruit at all. No fruit. Just even one. Kosi. No, that's not possible. Not possible. Says, how do we do this? I put it here. I say, by beholding his face in righteousness. Psalm 17, verse 15. That's what the psalmist said. The psalmist saw what would satisfy God. So he said, me too, I will not be satisfied until I wake in the last. Say, as for me, say, as for me. As for me, Pastor Dewey, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. Not before, when, say when, I awake in thy likeness. Only what will satisfy God should satisfy us. We must not settle for little. How do we do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Just using scriptures to explain. We already know. This is just to ginger us up because we're in that season. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Say, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we need to behold. Say, behold his face. His face in the Bible speaks about his character. Love. It's as you behold love, like Moses did, that glory is imparted onto your face. So when Moses beheld, he said, spoke to me face to face. And when he came down, his face shone. The light shined, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord, why would the glory of our reason? Because we are beholding character. As you behold character. So I put it there in summary. I said, we use our right standing. We use our right standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ to receive life to practice right doing. Proverbs 21:21. Pastor has talked about it. That is, you behold his face in righteousness. Now behold with character in righteousness. Use your right standing through the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives you access to life to practice right doing. That is, to use that to perfect the love of God. That is, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. So this is what God expects us to do. And this is what God is looking for in this day. He shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. Bible says the time has come and judgment was given by the ancient of days to the saints of God and they possess the kingdom. Let's talk to the Lord and stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing that song again. Arugbojo. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God.
The heavens declare the power.
Bible says that let us examine and judge ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Lord, you reign. King of all nations. You are the ancient of days.
Let's worship the Lord.
Lord, you reign. Your throne is established in justice and righteousness. Lord, you reign. Great are you, Lord. And worthy to be praised.
Of respond to the Lord as one hand on our hearts and raise the other to heaven. I read the scriptures again. It says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him like we stand today. The judgments were set and the books were opened. Verse 22. Until we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until the ancient of days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came, for the time has come, saith the Spirit, that the saints shall possess the kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the travail of your soul, which is bringing many sons to glory from every tribe, tongue, and kindred. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for grace afresh to continue to dwell under covering of those who have set in spiritual authority over me, to hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of this hope, firm unto the end, even till you see the travail of your soul and you are satisfied in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen.
The time has come for the saints to possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. This word is a word in season. We trust, Lord, that there shall be a fulfillment in this season according to the will of God. Amen. As by as we close the service, join hands with somebody. Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful. Thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to us expressly today. Thank you for giving your servant this word. Lord God, confirming, Lord God, the season of pleasantness, the day of fulfillment that has come upon your church. And we thank you. And by your mercies and the covering of fathers, we are part of this, Lord, possessing of the kingdom, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit by your saints that have made a covenant with you by sacrifice. We are grateful. We return to you all the glory, all the honor and praise. Father, Son, Lord, Holy Spirit. And therefore, Lord, under the covering of the same steadfast fathers, under the authority of Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. We declare, say, the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. The Lord causes us to prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. So the Lord anoints us with the anointing and mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. And share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you cast not away your confidence, for this is a time of great reward. Hallelujah.